Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Keely Boltina. This segment, medicine is changing and healthcare workers have new tools to personalize medicine for the individual patient. Sanford Health is building a state-of-the-art facility to integrate genomic medicine with innovative primary care. And as medicine incorporates tailored plans based on genes, additional training is necessary to shape the next wave of medicine. Dr. Gene Hoime is Chief of Genetics and Genomic Medicine at Sanford Health. He joins me here in the studio at the University of Sioux Falls. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Welcome, welcome. And at the groundbreaking about a week and a half ago of this new facility, I believe someone referenced you as the father of Sanford Imagenetics.
Without a doubt, the oldest geneticist in the region.
Oh, is that what
so
it is?
That's probably what they were referring
sure,
to.
Sure, sure. It can't be, you know, your extensive work in this area or anything
like that.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about this, we should probably start with a foundation. Give me your elevator speech when somebody says, why do genes matter in medicine?
Sure. One can think of illness as really a spectrum from things that are completely environmental, like walking out into the street and getting hit by a truck, to things that are completely inherited, like many of the rare diseases we test newborns for with newborn screening. Those are completely genetic. But most things are in the middle, things like high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, most forms of cancer. So there are some genes that you inherit from your parents that predispose to those things. And then the environment affects whether or not you actually get the disease. So you can't change your genes, but if you know what your genetic makeup is, you can change the environment to make you less likely to get what you're predisposed toward.
So figuring out what genes I'm predisposed to, it doesn't just fix all of my medical problems? We can't just...
No.
Do all of that.
No. And, you know, we all are going to die of something. And statistically, you're most likely to die of cancer or coronary artery disease, depending on how old you are. And those risks will still be there. But I think by personalizing your own healthcare plan, you get a better idea of the areas where you can really begin to change your environment and perhaps live a little longer in a healthy way.
But that also requires people in the medical field to recognize that this is a major aspect of care.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that's important, and it's an interesting term, but we would say that people need to be educated to form a genomically literate healthcare workforce. And that means everyone from physicians to genetic counselors to nurses and all of the other team members who make up a healthcare team. The other thing that's important is for the general public to understand what genetics is and that it's not a panacea. This kind of testing isn't going to prevent you from necessarily having any health problems at all, but it is going to give you a lot more idea about yourself in a positive way.
Okay, so there are some, it's one facet of overall healthcare.
Correct.
That could change the way I get or which medicine I get, or
yes,
the different screenings that we look for, how often I'm tested for certain diseases that have a genetic link.
That's correct, yeah. What we would like to do is what's called preemptive screening, which means that there would be a panel of genes having to do with drug metabolism that you would test healthy people for, so that if your doctor did prescribe one of the drugs on the list, then an alert would come up in your electronic medical record that says, you know, this individual has had genetic testing, and you should consider these results in how you prescribe a medication, or that this patient will have a severely adverse reaction, you need to prescribe something else, or this medication isn't going to work at all, so you need to prescribe something else. And those are called best practice alerts. Here at Sanford, we use what's called the Epic Electronic Health System, probably 60% of the hospitals in the United States use, and most academic medical centers use. And what that does is it leaves nothing to chance. So if you've had the testing done and your doctor prescribes that medication, there's going to be a flag that comes up in front of him or her that says this patient has had testing and you need to take that into account when you do this prescription.
So tell me about the strategy, kind of bridging that gap, because the technology exists and right. it can be good for patients,
right.
but somewhere in the middle, you have to have people that are trained appropriately
sure.
to assess and order tests and interpret things.
Right. And this, all of this information about genetics and genomics has really come to the forefront of primary care within the last 5 to 10 years. I'm an old geneticist. I finished my training in 1981, so I've been doing this a long time. And back then, we knew about inherited conditions. The conditions haven't changed. I mean, the same things affect people now that affected people back then. The only difference is that we know so much more about the genetics and about predisposition. So what we really need to do now is we need to take physicians who were educated 20 years ago and help them be able to use these tools in their practice, because they were educated at a time when these things weren't known. So we've begun to do that. All of our internal medicine physicians at Sanford took a 12-hour course called Essentials of Genomic Medicine. And that didn't make them geneticists, but it gave them an idea how to use the tools. The other thing that we are planning to do, and what we do every year, is we have an annual symposium. We just finished that on Friday, called the Imagenetics Symposium on Genomic Medicine. And then we do plan on having a genetics residency program, which will be done jointly with the School of Medicine at the University of South Dakota. So physicians can spend a 2-year in-depth training period and become board certified as a geneticist in the same way that I am. The other area is, of course, genetic counseling. These are the people with master's degrees who really are where they're the interface that links the physician to the patient. They know a tremendous amount about the science, but they're also skilled in counseling and all of the emotional and other kinds of factors that need to be taken into account when you decide whether to have genetic testing done or not. So we are planning a master's program in genetic counseling with Augustana University. We hope to take our first class there a year from now, actually. And so that would be a 2-year program. We would take anywhere from 8 to 10 students in the first year class. The unique thing about that program is in the second year, the class splits, and half of them do their clinical training in Sioux Falls, and half go to San Diego. We have a link with the University of California at San Diego. We employ an associate medical director and an associate program director there. And so that program is very important, and we feel that that will help fill a lot of the gaps in the region about genetic counseling. And finally, we want to educate the nursing workforce. So we're going to be within Sanford developing programs for educating our nurses about how to understand and use genetics when they talk to patients who've had this sort of testing. And then we do plan, perhaps with Augustana, to develop a certificate, a 1-year program in genomic nursing, where if a nurse wanted to be a specialist in genetics, they could spend a year doing that training.
So it's a big combination of making sure that as new physicians, new nurses, new healthcare workers are trained, that they have all of these tools, but also catching everybody else up who's been in the field for years or decades.
And in this new facility, it's going to be a gorgeous facility, but there is a large glass domed atrium which contains a public education space, and we plan on having a regular series in the evening of public lectures on your genetics and how genetics affects you. And so that will be done, probably the planning of that will be done jointly with Augustana as well.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, how genetics affects you. And you mentioned the genetic counselors and how there are lots of other things tied to this, because some tests, you know, show definitively that, you know, someone has some sort of disease, but others show predispositions or a greater likelihood that you'll get sick. And I assume that people could take those many, many ways.
Yes. So there's two types of genetic testing. One is genetic screening, and that is screening a group of healthy people toward predisposition. And then there's genetic testing. Genetic testing is generally applied when someone has cancer and you want to find out the genetic type of the tumor to tailor the treatment to that tumor, or if a child has disabilities or birth defects in some way and you want to find out the cause so you can start a treatment plan for the child. That's diagnostic testing, cancer, children with disabilities, and so on. But, for example, pregnant women who may be interested in the risk that they're going to have a child with a congenital birth defect, there are a whole variety of screening things that can be done on both mother and baby that would give an idea of risk. The other thing we had talked about was screening people for drug metabolism so that you would know how you individually metabolize drugs. The other thing that is important is that there are certain genes in the population that greatly increase your risk for cancer. So, for example, there's an inherited disorder called Lynch syndrome, that if you have that gene, your chance of getting colon cancer is 40%. So if you have that gene, you want to know you have that gene because your physician is going to design a screening plan for you very different from the general population. Or if you carry one of these breast cancer predisposing genes, BRCA1 or BRCA2, you're at risk for breast or ovarian cancer at a much greater risk than the general population. So in addition to the drug screening, there are this panel of probably 56 genes that the American College of Medical Genetics has said if you carry one of those genes, your health care would change drastically. And the reason is to prevent you from getting cancer or a whole variety of other things. So
56 genes is a lot of genes that could drastically change my health care.
It is. But remember that you have 3 billion base pairs of DNA and thousands and thousands of genes. So all of us have abnormal genes. They're usually hidden from us. We don't know what they are. This program takes away some of the mystery. Some people want to know those. I'm one of the people who, if I have a 40% risk of colon cancer, I want to know that. Other people don't want to know these things. They would rather just let life unfold as it is. So, genetic testing, genetic screening should always be voluntary. In other words, no one should require you to have this kind of screening done. But if you want it, it is available now. And the drug metabolizing program is already part of Sanford Health. And anyone can come and have this testing done. The other part of it, these 56 genes that predispose to cancer and so on, that will be rolled out over the next year, and there'll be an adult panel, or CHIP as we call it, a Sanford adult CHIP, which will give you an idea about these kinds of risks.
And because this applies to, it doesn't just apply to people with cancer, it applies to anybody.
Everybody.
Able to seek this information if they want it, and that might give them, greater insight. But they can ask those questions of healthcare professionals.
The pharmacogenetic testing, the drug metabolizing testing, I think we want all primary care physicians to offer that to patients who want it. The second group is a more thoughtful kind of panel where we really will require genetic counseling before you agree to it, because you really need to explore. Some of these genes are for things like Alzheimer's disease and neurodevelopmental changes that might happen to you when you're older, and you may want to choose to have some of it done,
sure,
but not all of it done. But those are things that require counseling and consent prior to. It's an important part of healthcare. I'm one of those people who I want to know everything about my genetic background and my predisposition. Other people don't want to know that. And so first of all, it's voluntary. And secondly, you should have counseling, genetic counseling, as part of the consent process for the second type of testing.
And the Sanford Imagenetics is really an opportunity to get those people who are skilled and can help me understand, hey, I might want to know this, but I don't know. If I see a 30% predisposition, I don't want to think that that's my fate either.
Exactly.
They can help you through that.
Right, and that's it. I mean, I think it's important to understand that these genes are statistical probabilities are what you're going to be given. You know, you can have the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene and not get cancer. There is a great risk that you will, but not, and we can't tell right now who will or who won't. But, you know, I think that that's what the counseling part is.
Sure. Excellent. Dr. Jean Hoimy, I really appreciate your time today. Dr. Hoimy is with Sanford Health Imagenetics. He's Chief of Genetics and Genomic Medicine. Thanks to all of my guests today, and also to Steve Zwemke and Chris Loffrey for assistance with today's program out of Vermilion. Kara Hetland is back as your host on Dakota Midday tomorrow. I'm Keely Boltina. Thank you for listening to Dakota Midday, and enjoy your Tuesday.